And as a reader, I very much appreciate that.
And I appreciate you saying that, because when I first set out to write the book, it was because someone was asking me to explain how to go through the process. Hmm. And I decided to write it in a way that didn't have a lot of filler, that was just straight and to the point. And I wanted it to be a book that I would have wanted to have read myself when I first started to study this subject. Hmm. And because I felt myself always grasping for information, for actionable information on how to actually go about the process. And there's a lot of books out there where there's just a lot of metaphor and a lot of phrases and a lot of stuff to stimulate thought, but mm-hmm. not a lot to actually tell you how to do it.
Yeah. Facilitate that process.
Yeah. So I felt like the best way to do it was just to share the process that I went through. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know how it was going to unravel. It took its own course, and I decided just to share exactly what happened and not concern myself with the way it might be viewed by other people, but literally just, this is what happened, and I'm sharing it with you, and that's it.
From an authentic self, which is what a main part of the book is, really teaching us how to identify the false self and allow the authentic self to come through, I think, right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Because the human mind, the way it's we're not born perfectly. And the mind and the brain, it all manifests. It's a collision of consciousness and matter. And it, just like colliding particles together, and you get what comes out of that is not perfect. And if you apply your own conscious mind to that, you can end up correcting a lot of the imperfections of that collision between matter and consciousness.
Wow. So maybe we should start with the definition at the beginning, because I've asked Mark this before as well, like what is spiritual alchemy? And Darren asked the question twice tonight.
I still can't get a straight answer.
So maybe start with like, what is alchemy or what is spiritual alchemy? Because I have I have this preconceived notion of alchemy, and it's hard for me to wrap my head around this this thing, spiritual alchemy.
It's a great question, because alchemy as a term is a very old word, and alchemy as a subject goes back thousands of years. But essentially, alchemy just means transformation, and it's so anything can be alchemically transformed. So then you start to ask, well, what kind of alchemy? What kind of transformation? Is it the alchemy of physical substances, or is it an alchemy of the human mind and of the spirit? And that's the subject of this book. It's the alchemy of the human being. And the reason we call it spiritual alchemy is because we're using the spirit as part of the alchemical process. And basically what the spirit is, because that's another very loosely used term, it's one of three primary dimensions of what I call the cosmic consciousness. And the cosmic consciousness is a underlying awareness that underlines everything in the universe. And it precedes creation. It has no beginning. It always was, and it always will be. And there's three dimensions within that cosmic consciousness. And those three dimensions are awareness, life, and love. And the spirit is the love that's within the cosmic consciousness. So it's literally the spirit arises out of the awareness within the cosmic consciousness, becoming aware of its own life. As a result of the awareness becoming aware of its own life, its own existence, that automatically gives rise to love. And that love is the spirit of God. So, and everything in the universe that is that has that three-dimensional component. There's the Trinity exists in many different things throughout creation. That Trinity is all a reflection of those three fundamental dimensions of the cosmic consciousness, which is awareness, life, and love. So those three forces, even though we call them three fundamental dimensions, which describe the cosmic consciousness, they also have in themselves their own force. And we can become aware of these three forces through a discipline, what I call quantum meditation. And what I mean by quantum meditation is we are literally focusing the conscious mind within ourselves all the way down to the quantum level of existence, because the cosmic consciousness doesn't exist at the macro level of creation. It exists at the micro level. It exists within the atom. It exists at the quantum level of existence within all things. And your conscious mind has the ability to access that realm. So you have the ability to literally commune with, feel, resonate, and extract knowledge from all three forces of the cosmic consciousness. And the first force that is readily accessible to the conscious mind is the spirit or the love of God. And so when you go about trying to liberate your authentic self from what I call the false selves, we leverage our resonance, our awareness of the spirit, and we bring that awareness in contrast to the thing that we're trying to transform within us. And when you're able to, for example, focus on something that's bothering you within your mind, maybe you're depressed and you're feeling sad, and you're able to focus on that mood within yourself, if you can also, in that same moment, contrast your awareness of the spirit in the same moment, you can literally transform that mood. And what comes out of that is an aspect of your authentic self that you were not consciously aware of before, that was suppressed. And you start literally consolidating and individuating your conscious mind by doing that. And the way you go about that is through your daily life experiences. So your interactions with everybody in your daily life evokes different types of mental states within you, whether it's you're angry, you're sad, you're whatever. And if you're able to observe it, then you're able to transform it. And so what the book teaches is a process of literally unraveling your mind and consolidating who you are within yourself by going through this process.
Yeah, that's well said.
Wow, that was really well said.
Yeah, and so even liberating your false self, like mentioned in the book, doesn't mean that it's going to be your authentic self is going to be the opposite of the false self. It could be just a different.
Yeah, for example, you're focusing on something within yourself that you feel is suppressing who you truly are. So say there's an element of lust.
Yeah.
that's suppressing who you really are in some way, and you feel conflicted with it. So you focus on it, and there's a method of focusing on it, which I'm not going to describe here, but we use what I call the five centers within us, and we focus on that element of lust. And some might think that the authentic self that's going to emerge out of that should be some kind of chastity or something pure. Well, in reality, what may come out of it is an authentic aspect of your erotic nature that was twisted and not well expressed. So it's not always something opposite that comes out. I would say 50% of the time, it's not something opposite that emerges. So you really have to be open to what emerges out of that transformation.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really interesting. So where, what should we do? Where do you want to go from here, Ram? Do you think?
Well, when I began reading Song of the Immortal Beloved, there were so many things that jumped out at me and resonated with me and confirmed that, you know, I literally felt as though there was the missing piece of the puzzle had finally sort of dropped in my lap. And one of the statements that you make really early on in the book is that the alchemical process begins when the mind splits between the observer and the observed.
Right.
So I was wondering, you know, that might be a good starting point for maybe giving people that are new to the idea of transformation from an alchemical point of view.
Right. So what's really happening is there is a process of creation in the universe. And the truth is that process has not completed itself. And it's attempting to complete itself. But in order to complete itself, it needs the cooperation of a conscious mind. And most people go about their life in a very automated fashion, where they're just reacting automatically to what's happening in their life. But if you actually pause for a moment and focus your conscious mind instead of on the outside world, but within yourself, and start to question, why am I feeling this way? Why am I reacting this way? You know, regardless of the person that's maybe evoking the reaction, regardless of that, why am I reacting this way? And because maybe I don't want to react this way, and I feel like my true self is being suppressed or deflected in some way when that reaction comes about. So the moment you start to turn your mind inward on yourself, a very interesting dynamic takes place, and it happens automatically. The moment you turn your conscious mind inward on your own self, your mind splits into the observer and the observed. Automatically, content moves out to the periphery of your mind that you're able to observe. You're able to observe each emotion. You're able to observe each thought. You're able to observe each instinct. Who's doing the observing? Because people were confusing those thoughts and emotions for who they are. So how can you actually be observing that then, if that's really you? Because the truth is, it's really not. It's a construct of your mind that's not fully integrated, and that's why you're able to observe it. So what we do is we start to leverage that dynamic, and in a